I invite your attention this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 3. I'm going to be speaking to you on this subject. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. In Matthew 13, it says the people gathered about the Lord Jesus Christ, and there were so many of them that he stepped into a small ship, and they pushed away from the shore, and our Lord sat in the ship, and the people gathered about him on the shore. And he said in verse 3 of Matthew 13 that he spake many things unto them in parables. And he said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. An eastern farmer arose one morning, our Lord said, and filled his basket or bucket with seed. And he went out into the field to scatter the seed. The field had been prepared, and he went out to sow his seed. And as he took the seed from the bucket and scattered it over the field, along the side of the field there was a pathway where people had been walking, and the ground was hard and pressed down. And as the farmer scattered the seed in the field, some of the seed fell on the pathway. And the birds in the trees were watching the farmer as he scattered the seed, and some of it fell on the pathway. And when he went on across the field, the birds of the air swooped down and picked up the seed that was laying on the pathway, on the hard, beaten pathway where people had been walking, where it was impossible for the seed to grow. And the birds just picked up all the precious seed that was laying there on the pathway and bore it away. But the farmer continued to sow, and the master said as he sowed, there was a part of the field that was stony or rocky, and the plow had just grazed over the top of the rock. And as he sowed his seed, some of the seed fell on this stony, rocky ground. Now, there wasn't much dirt there. There was just a thin layer of dirt on top of the rock. And the seed fell there as the farmer scattered the seed and walked on. And the seed began to grow. And the rain fell, and the seed sprouted and came up quickly. He said immediately it sprang up. But having no root, because it had no depth and couldn't reach down into the moisture of the earth, and having no root, when the sun came out and beat upon the little tender plant, it soon turned yellow and then turned brown and wilted and died because it had no root. It was sown, the seed was sown on the stony, rocky ground where there was no depth of earth. There was no moisture. There was no way for the root to get down deep into the moisture of the soil. Well, the farmer went on and he scattered the seed, our master said, and some of it fell in the corner of the field where there were roots and briars and thorns. The plow hadn't broken up all of these old thorns and briars and roots. And the seed, as he scattered it in the field, some of it fell among these roots and briars and thorns. And as the seed began to germinate and the little plant began to come up, the weeds came up too. And the thorns and the briars came up. And the master said that even though the seed sprouted and the little plant came up, that the thorns and briars just choked the life out of it, and it yielded no fruit. But as the farmer sowed, some of the seed that he scattered fell on the hard, fallow thoroughfare where people had walked, and the birds of the air took it away. And some of it fell on the soil where there was no depth, nothing but rocks and stones, and the sun withered it and killed it. And some of it fell among the thorns and briars, but some of it fell on good ground. Ground that had been pulverized by the plow. Ground that had been beaten up. Ground that had been prepared. And that seed that fell on the good ground, it bore fruit. Some of it bore 100-fold. Some of it bore 60-fold. And some of it bore 30-fold. And then after the Lord had finished giving this parable and the crowd of people left, the disciples gathered about him and they said to him, Master, what is the meaning of the parable of the sower? Tell us what this parable means. Now, the apostles of our Lord in writing the Holy Scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they saw fit under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to record this parable three times in its entirety. It is written in Matthew 13, it is written in Mark 4, it is written in Luke 8, and you can read the same parable and its definition in all three of those evangelist writings. Let's take just some of the parable from each one. Now, our Lord, the disciples said, Lord, declare unto us the meaning of this parable. And so he said to them, first of all, this is the first thing he said in Luke 8:11. He said, a sower went forth to sow, and the seed is the word of God. Now remember that, the seed is the word of God. Who is the sower? The sower is the preacher, the true God-called, God-ordained, God-sent minister of the gospel. And the seed which he sows is the word of God. Now the preacher does not make the seed which he sows any more than the farmer makes the seed that he sows. This eastern farmer that went out to sow that morning, he didn't make that seed. If he had made that seed, none of it would have come up. None of it would have bore fruit because he couldn't put life in the seed. You see, anything that he had made himself and anything that he had concocted, if he'd have sowed it in his field, it just stayed there because there's no life. Only God can make seed that has life in it. And as you and I go forth to preach, we preach the Word of God because the Word of God is the Word of life. If we preach our opinions, if we preach our traditions, if we preach our customs, if we preach our ideas, then there's no way possible for life to be given because we have no life in our words or in our doctrines or in our customs or in our opinions or in our traditions. But the Word of God is the living Word. And this seed, which is sown by the minister, if he uses the Bible, the Word of God, then it's the living seed. The seed is the Word of God. Listen to these scriptures. In 1 Peter 1:23, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us, with the word of truth. God's word is living word. This is the reason Paul said to young Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. I wish that ministers today would preach the word of God. We have so few preachers today who actually preach the word of God. A man may take a text and then preach an entire message and never come back to the word of God, never refer to the word of God again. God hasn't promised to bless our words or our opinions or our thoughts. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. But God has promised to bless his word. He said, my word will not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that whereunto I have sent it. Why? Because his word is living word. It is called the word of life. The word of life. So, the seed is the word of God. Now watch this. The preacher's task is to preach the word. He's not responsible for the results. He's not responsible for the harvest. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. What did our Lord say? The harvest is plenty. The laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his field. And then Paul said this. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:5, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God giveth the increase. So then he that planteth, he's nothing. He that watereth, he's nothing. But God that giveth the increase. The preacher is to preach the word. He's to preach the word of God, the truth about God. God is sovereign. God is almighty. God is immutable. God is mercy. God is love. God is just. All of the attributes of our living God, because eternal life is to know God. Not know a God or some God, but the God. Our Lord said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true and living God. The preacher is to tell the truth not only about God, but about man. What condition man's in because of the fall. In the Garden of Eden, man fell, and spiritually He died spiritually. He was separated from God. Oh, the inability of the flesh. Oh, the exceeding sinfulness of the flesh. In thy flesh dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh no man can please God. We're helpless creatures in need of God's mercy. The Scripture says we're without hope. We're without Christ. We're without God. We're without strength in this world. We're to tell the truth about me. We're to preach the truth about Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Why did he come into this world? What did he do? Where is he now? We must proclaim Christ, the living Redeemer, the sovereign Redeemer, the sufficient Redeemer. We must tell the truth about salvation. That it's not just a decision. That it's not just adherence to the law. It's not just acceptance of mental facts. Salvation is a new birth. It's a new creation. It's a new life. We must tell the truth about heaven and about hell. We must preach the truth of God's Word. And this living Word of God will bring forth life. It'll bring forth children to the praise of His glory, to the praise of the glory of His grace. So that's the first thing our Lord said to His disciples. They said, declare unto us this parable. And He said, first of all, the seed is the Word of God. Let that challenge me and challenge you when we witness, when we teach, when we preach, when we write, or whatever we do. Make much of the Word of God. The Word is the living seed. The Word is the life. That's where life must come from, the Word of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. All right, then our Lord goes on. Look at Luke 8, verse 12. And he said, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and bore it away. Now, what's this talking about? I'll tell you what it's talking about. A faithful minister of the gospel preaches. He preaches the Word of God. He sows the seed of God's Word over a congregation or over an assembly or what I'm doing right now. And the wayside hearer, we have the wayside hearer, the stony ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, and the good ground hearer. And the wayside hearer is that man who by chance, gets in the way of the gospel. That's exactly right. He's indifferent. He's careless. He could care less about the gospel, about God, about his saving, about his salvation, about interest in God. He's just not interested at all. He's unconcerned. He's indifferent. But somehow, he gets in the way of the gospel. Somehow, he's close by when the gospel's preached. It's just like this path that was alongside the field. And the minister, the sower, was sowing the seed on the good ground. But some of the seed fell on the pathway, fell on the hard, fallow ground, unplowed, unprepared, a thoroughfare, trodden down by the feet of men. This is the man who gets in the way of the gospel. I'll tell you how he gets in the way of the gospel. Perhaps his mother or father is a believer. He comes to visit them on Christmas, and they're listening to Brother Mahan on the television. The mother and father are believers. They love Christ and love the gospel. And the boy or daughter comes to visit them. They say, sit down at 11 a.m. We want you to hear our preacher on WOWK, Channel 13. So they go over and turn it on, and he sits there, and he's sitting there right now, and he's listening, and they preach. But he could care less. And when the program's over, he won't retain anything he heard. But the birds are there. What are these birds? They're birds of Satan. But these birds are pride, arrogance, self-will, self-love, indifference, self-righteousness, or maybe a religious profession that knows not Christ. But all these birds, they don't let the seed lay there very long. They come and pick it up and bear it away. Or perhaps a young man dates a girl. She goes to church. So he goes to church with her, and he sits down in the pew beside her, and there is a faithful, godly man in the pulpit who's not preaching denominationalism, he's not preaching experience, he's preaching Christ, he's preaching the gospel. And that old boy sits there beside that girl, and he hears the gospel. But then he goes out, and the seed has fallen on a hard heart, on an indifferent heart, on a careless heart, on an unconcerned heart. And it lays there for a few moments, and then after a while, it goes away. Or perhaps he's a man who works for a person who's a Christian, or he associates with a man who's a Christian. And this man has invited him to come to church with him. So just to please the boss, he goes with him to church. And he hears the sermon, but not for long. Or perhaps this individual attends a funeral. I've had people come to hear me preach funerals. And I preach the gospel. I always preach the gospel at a funeral. And this man sits there and listens, and when it's over, he's heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he goes out. And after a while, he forgets what he's heard. You know, Herod listened to John. He feared John, and he listened to John. He went out in the desert to hear John preach. But Herodias wouldn't let him think about it for very long. He had that hard, unprepared, unconcerned, careless heart, the wayside hearer, and they're in our services, and they're listening to this message right now, but they're totally indifferent. And this precious, life-giving seed, this Word of God, that can bring forth for the glory of God a beautiful plant of life. But that seed will lay on that hard, unconcerned, indifferent heart until Satan and all the foul birds of the air, such as lust, indifference, carelessness, unconcern, hatred, all of these things, come in and just bear that seed away. Well, preacher, the Lord said that some of the seed fell on stony ground, where the dirt was just so deep. And the seed germinated quickly and sprang up quickly. But after a while, the sun came out and it withered and died. What does that mean? You know who that is? Our Lord said, these are people who hear the Word of God. And they hear the Word with gladness. And they receive the Word of God. They receive it with gladness. Now watch this. Immediately. Now there's the key to the whole thing. He said, the stony ground hearer is the hearer who hears the Word of God. Immediately with gladness he receives it, but having no root. When the son of trial and trouble comes, immediately he's offended. Twice the word immediately is used. Now let me give you a clue. First of all, this man hears the word. He hears the gospel about forgiveness of sin, pardon, eternal life, heaven, healing, all of these things. And there's no conviction. There's no conviction of sin. There's no personal conviction. There is no repentance. There's no godly sorrow. There's no conflict or struggle. There's no question. There's no seeking. There's no searching. There's no asking. There's no counting the cost. There's no awareness of what it means to bow to Christ, to receive Christ, but just the gladness over the benefit. That preacher said, if I believe on Jesus, I'd go to heaven and live always in a mansion. That preacher said, if I believe on Jesus, I'd be healed from all my disease. That preacher said, if I believed on Jesus, I'd be rich and tired that God would prosper me and my business would prosper and I'd have health and my family would prosper and all my problems would be solved and all my troubles would be over and I'd be happy all the time. It's fun being saved. And so he immediately receives that. And he just grows, he responds so quickly, and he makes such rapid progress, you know. One Sunday he's saved, and the next Sunday he's teaching Sunday school. One Sunday he's saved, and the next Sunday he's out telling everybody else what a victory he's won. And if some older Christian comes along and talks about doubts and fears and struggles and conflict, he just laughs. He says, well, there's no fears, there's no doubt, there's no struggle, happy all the time. There's nothing to it. Just believe on Jesus and everything's all right. But woe now. Then a trial comes. A trial because of the word. A trial in life. Perhaps he gets sick or a baby dies or he loses his job or some conflict, some persecution, some oppression comes. And the scripture says, our Lord said immediately, just as quickly as he came in, he went out. Don't you ever sit in church and watch all these floods of people go down to the front, make the profession, and get baptized and join up, and they come for a few Sundays, and then about a week or a month or a year, you look around, they're not there. Don't you ever wonder where they are? They came in quickly, and they went out just as quickly. And John said, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. What's wrong? They're stony ground hearers. They have no roots. You see, the man who built his house on the rock, the scripture said he dig deep. It took time to dig. It took effort to dig. It took determination to dig. But he dug down deep and found the rock. And that's where he laid his foundation. It took him longer to build his house than the fellow just built it on top of the ground. But when the trial came, his house stood, and the other fellow's house crumbled. When the trial, when the rains and the flood and the winds blew, and whatever trouble came, sickness, sorrow, suffering, death, whatever trouble came, his house stood. He had roots. He built on a rock. He was established on Christ Jesus. And this stony ground here, beware of people who immediately, just as soon as you say something about Christ and heaven and salvation, they grab it. There's no searching, no conflict, no struggle, no conviction, no true conversion. It takes time to grow a taproot. But I'll tell you this, when one grows down into the ground deep enough, it reaches that moisture down there. And it doesn't matter what happens up here. It can get dry and like a desert. The wind can blow and the rain can fall and the hail can fall, and it'll keep on growing because it's getting its strength from somewhere else besides out here. All right, our Lord said, some of this fell among the thorns, some of these seeds. Now, who's the thorn? Well, there's the fellows that they hear the word. Now, watch this carefully. They're not like the wayside ground. They do grow. They're not like the stony ground here. They take their time. This seed that fell among the thorns, it went down. It really grew. But the trouble was outside. As it grew up, there were thorns and briars and weeds that grew up with it. And these thorns and briars and weeds crushed the plant, and it bore no fruit. And you know who that is? Well, let me give you, he gives us three things here, three of these thorns and briars and weeds. He said, first of all, there's the cares of this world. I'll give you some examples. First of all, there's a beautiful young lady. She's beautiful. She's popular. She's a lovely young lady in college or high school. She hears the gospel. It's good. She likes it. She studies it. She thinks about it. She says, this is the true way of life. This is the true value. Jesus Christ is the true hope. But now, wait a minute. The crowd she runs with and the people she's around, she can't be popular. She can't be accepted and follow this kind of faith. This believing in Christ, this living for Christ. And so that's the cares of the world that choke the plant. And then here's a man. He holds an office in a political party or in a lodge or in a country club. And the association, the people he has to associate with, the parties he has to go to and the things he has to do, they're in conflict with his spiritual life. They're in conflict with what the Bible says. But does he follow Christ? Does he tell these friends goodbye? No. He can't offend them. He's got to go along with them. He's got to stay. And perhaps the young man is a musician. He plays an instrument or he sings. Well, now he's got to play in nightclubs. He's got to sing in nightclubs. We can't walk with Christ in a nightclub. You can't walk with Christ and sing what has to be sung to be popular today. You see what I'm saying? The cares of this world. The family. The family's not interested in the gospel. His friends are not interested in the gospel. And he can't afford to lose them. He can't afford to offend them. And so here the seed is, he's heard the gospel. And it sounds good and it blesses his heart. But all these cares of the world, the family and friends and job and association and talents and gifts and beauty and popularity and all of these things just flood in on his soul. And he turns his back on Christ. What a tragedy. That's the thorns. Oh, here's another one. He said, and the deceitfulness of riches. Got to have me a big house. Got to drive me a big car. Got to impress people. Got to wear fine clothes. I got an opportunity to make some big money, some real money. Will it help you spiritually? Well, no, but you know, fellas got to live. No, fellas got to die. He hadn't got to live. He has got to die. He has got to meet God. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Well, preacher, if we don't look out for ourselves, who will? God will. He said, take no anxious thought what you shall eat, drink, or wear. The heathen seek these things. You look to Christ. You look to God. You walk with God. He'll meet your need. Oh, the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. How they turned. You know what the old-timer said? Lord, he said, keep me from poverty, lest I steal. But keep me from riches, lest I forget thee. And for every one person I've ever seen depart from Christ because of poverty, I've seen 50 depart because of prosperity. Man gets a promotion or a better job or opens his business. Sunday's his best day. I can't run my customers away. Sunday's my biggest day. I can't go to church. I don't have time to hear the gospel. I got to make a living. That's all right. That's all right. That's what our Lord said you'd do. He said the seed was sown in the thorns, the deceitfulness of riches. I tell you, my friend, the fashion of this world passeth away. It'd be better if you had little with Christ than a whole lot without him. And then the lust of other things. There are other things. Here's a young lady, been in church all her life, heard the gospel, knows the gospel, at least in her head. Some young boy comes along. She says, well, Pastor, I know he's not a believer, but I'm going to marry him anyway. Honey, you're marrying trouble. That's right, you're marrying trouble. Well, the preacher wants a bigger church, so he compromises the gospel. That's the lust of other things. Well, thank God, Lord said some of it fell on good ground. Not good by nature, but prepared by the Holy Spirit, prepared to receive the word. And it brought forth fruit, love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, kindness, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. There are degrees of producing the fruit of the Spirit.